Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to Uncommon Goods for supporting The Instance. Uncommon Goods helps you find hand-picked creative gifts by independent artists and makers for everyone in your life, including yourself. Get 15% off your next gift at uncommongoods.com/instance. And by BetterHelp. Thanks for supporting The Instance. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/instance and start living a better life today. Hey, everybody, that overwrought intro can only mean one thing. It's time for The Instance. Yes, that's right. Pull up a chair and sit down and enjoy the following conversation between me, Scott Johnson, and that guy over there, Garrett Weinzierl. Hi, Garrett.
Happy Friday, Scott. How
Thanks,
you doing?
Thanks, man. I'm good. It's speaking of which, December 3rd, 2021. Yeah, that's right. In the thick of it, man. Christmas looming just around the corner. I hope you've all done your shopping and it doesn't involve any sort of microchips because you'll never get them in time.
Yeah, a big gift for Katie this year doesn't, but it's still out of stock until like the 20th, so I hope it gets here in time.
Oh, man. Yeah, we got a couch a couple of months ago that was not ridiculously expensive, but enough for me to go, yeah, that's my present. And Kim said, yeah, I think that's my present too. So her and I aren't getting this each other anything. At least that's what we say. And then on Christmas morning, she'll pop up with some surprise, and I'll be the one that took us literally on, hey, we're not getting anything this year because we got the couch. And then I'll feel bad. That's how that'll go this year. It's always
gotta,
how it goes.
You got to get some little things, man. Get some little things. Don't forget stockings, too. I've done that before. That's scary. Don't forget stockings.
Yeah, don't forget those. So I got some stuff I got to do still. But we hope you're all well and you're all doing okay. And by the way, happy Endwalker Day to everybody. If you're playing Final Fantasy 14, it's your big day. Last night at about 2 o'clock in the morning, my time, the game launched. And the expansion, I should say, to Final Fantasy 14. And all my Endwalker friends are stoked.
I can't wait. I just got to the first end of A Realm Reborn, literally the first damn thing in Final Fantasy 14. It's going to be a while before Endwalker is a relevant concern for me.
Same here. I've been back in. I'm playing again, and I got to everyone's excitement just suckered me in. I'm like, all right, fine, I'll get in. And I decided to roll a new tune on the server that you and Kyle and John and most of my friends are on.
Welcome to Curl.
Curl. Hey, it's Curl. It almost looks like Co-URL, which sounds like a thing you want to do.
Well, that's how it's spelt. Yeah.
Yeah. It's real weird. Anyway, started a new character over there and I've just been, kicking it at level 26 last I logged in, and then the maintenance day killed any chance I had of playing. But,
I have finals for my master's right now, so I was kind of thankful for it. I was like, oh, no.
Yeah.
I should probably get some schoolwork done.
It's always nice when a game you're playing has server maintenance when you need to be doing other things. So,
Yep.
I'm with you on that. But anyway, I know a lot of people are stoked and excited, and you should be. It's a big deal and a long time coming. And we spent a week and a half listening to Square Enix. How do you do this? They preeminently apologized for congestion and server slowdown and login slowdown and queues, which I think is kind of awesome. It's basically just
smart, right? Yeah. Like it always happens. It doesn't matter. It's not a problem you can throw money at.
Yeah.
Like it cannot be fixed. There's only so much infrastructure.
Right. It doesn't matter who you are, or what you're doing. Your smooth launch is only as smooth as it's going to be. And, WoW's had some pretty decent launches of expansions. I would even argue the current one, which is in boredom hell for most people that I know right now, including myself. But its launch was pretty smooth. Didn't have too many hitches or glitches. And as far as I know, last night things went pretty well. Of course, having it happen in the middle of the night here in the States probably helped things in terms of the audience on these servers, these data centers. But
yeah, it's all relative, right?
Yeah. But we hope you're having fun and you're in and you got what you want to do and do what you got to do. I'll be playing later, but again, in some very old content. Joss is out this week. She'll be back soon. She's on, I wish I could say she was on assignment. She's not, but I always like to say that. So I'll just say it. Joss is on assignment. And
Joss is on assignment.
Yeah. She'll be back next week to talk about her big assignment, which didn't exist and I made up here right now. All right. Let's get to our big topic today. All right, I thought it'd be cool to talk about and around the Riot MMO that's being made. And I feel like this is the right time to do it because of a few factors. One, there seems to be a couple of things going on here. One, Riot's had, I think, a strategy and a plan to almost overwhelm us with Riot and League content. And that doesn't just include players of League of Legends, which I'm not that person. I know you're not that person. A lot of my friends and people I know are not those people. They're definitely a giant audience for League of Legends, but we are not necessarily it. However,
we come from a Blizzard background.
Right. We come from a very different place. And that plays into this, which I'll get to in a second. But they kind of went all out assault, and they've been doing it for a while and well before any of these Blizzard Activision issues. I just think some of it's just happy timing for Riot and bad timing for Blizzard. But, you know, when they first announced, okay, we're making Wild Rift, a mobile version of the League of Legends experience, we're making Legends of Runeterra to make a card game, and we're also doing Teamfight Tactics, and they had all these games, you know, lined up. Valorant was announced in the same event and everything else, and everybody went, oh, Riot is going from company who had one game for a decade and a half to company who will now soon have like five active games and in really short order. And now they are. They literally are that. Valorant's doing great. Wild Rift's doing great. Runeterra's doing great. And Teamfight Tactics is still has more people watching it than Hearthstone, which blows my mind because I'm not a huge fan of the auto battlers anymore. I kind of wore myself out on that stuff. So anyway, they've got all that stuff in the works. And then recently they released Hextech Mayhem, a League of Legends story, which is this weird rhythm runner that people like. It's a $10 game on Steam, and the reviews are really good for it. I haven't played it. I'm sure it's okay.
The trailer is like everything I hate about over-energetic video game trailers.
Yeah.
The trailer like offends every sensibility I have.
Yeah. Have you, I mean, I don't know if you probably haven't played it. I haven't.
No. That's all I can remark on. I'm like, what is this? And I was like, oh, it looks like I would hate this.
Yeah, it looks like a game. It's very casual and it's priced as such. It's $10, so they're not, you know, they're not pretending it's much else.
Yeah, yeah. It's not like it's some big AAA thing.
Yeah, and then they got their $30 game entry in the form of a game called The Ruined King, a League of Legends story, which I have gotten and played. And do you remember? I always forget the name of the thing. A couple years ago, there was a turn-based RPG with art. The art that was featured throughout the whole thing, everything was designed by Joe Madura, who you know comics, but you also know him from like the game where you got war. You're the main guy's war, and you're the fourth horseman of the apocalypse, and you're fighting everything on the planet. And there's three of those games. Okay, let me back up. The turn-based game is Battle Chasers. I apologize for not remembering that. And the other game is Darksiders. Okay, anyway, Joe Madura did all the art direction on those games. And if you've played or seen those games, they're beautiful. Like, really animated beautifully and all this other stuff. Well, what Riot did here is they said, hey, guys who made Battle Chasers, we really liked your RPG. How about you make another one, similar in some ways, but it's a League story with a bunch of League characters, and we're going to set it in Bilgewater, and which is a huge part of that world, and you're going to really expand out on these characters who people barely know, and you're going to make a whole story-based kind of almost, I mean, it's turn-based, so it's almost like Japanese RPG for the combat, but then everything else plays like maybe Baldur's Gate or Diablo, kind of, like you're running around three-quarter view in the world and that sort of thing.
Yeah, this game looks cool. I was only like very, very recently made aware of its existence.
Yeah.
funny enough, from like one of the 3D artists that worked on it got like retweeted by someone at Blizzard that I follow, and it was showing all their assets. Yeah. And I was just like, damn, these are gorgeous.
It's really nice. Yeah. It's really good. I'm having a ball with it. I even like the combat systems, I think, unique enough. It's got this kind of initiative system in it where if you want to do a real gnarly version of your spell against the enemy, that might mean that you got to swap places with him in line. This isn't that unusual. Like D&D has mechanics like this. Lots of RPGs have mechanics like this, where if you're going to do a thing that takes longer to cast, but has a better benefit, well, then that means maybe the enemies will get a couple of shots in before you can cast it. It's like
a speed rating. Mercenaries has it. Pokemon has it.
Yeah. Same idea. But the way they do it is that these lanes, and it's very visual, so you can see like where everyone is in their turn order. And if you choose this, it'll shove your character wherever that turn order is going to be. It's neat. I like the way they do it. Anyway, the combat's fun. The story's good. The voice acting's great. It's a hell of a thing. And it kind of came out of nowhere. Now, all that, that's all games. So you have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 games now being run concurrently. I'm sorry, 7, if you include League of Legends. So 7 games.
Yeah, your list here doesn't have LOL.
Yeah, it doesn't have LOL in there, which is pretty funny.
It has Wild Rift, which is LOL on the phone.
Yeah, and very good, by the way. I've been playing that. I can't believe I like that. It's, you know why I like it?
I really wish they had a PC version.
I do, too.
I know. Every time I say that, people are like, you can run an emulator. I don't want to. No, I don't feel like I want a legit PC version that just works.
Yeah, I do, too. I want it to be like native and... I mean, I know that maybe that's cannibalistic for their stuff, but it's just a better game. I'm sorry. It just is. Like, some may say it's more casual. I don't care if they say that or not. It feels like I'm playing a proper MOBA. The matches, instead of being an hour and a half or 20 minutes or so, which is what I want. I want shorter games. That's the HOTS player in me. And it's really good, but I would love that on PC. They're working on console versions, and you know that'll get here when it gets here, but we'll see how that goes. The point is, they got all this stuff going. Then on top of those 7 concurrent games, they release what by now has been the highest rated, like maybe not the most watched, but the highest rated Netflix release of the year. That thing's like 100% positive across the board. I've yet to hear anybody who doesn't like Arcane. And Arcane, again, kind of came out of nowhere. People didn't know they knew something was being worked on. They didn't know what it was going to look like. But it's consistent with the style and look and art and direction of all their other games.
I just watched the first 2 episodes for the first time.
Okay, so you're just digging in. Okay, cool. Dude, you're going to love that. You're going to love that thing by the end. It's so good.
It is the prettiest animated thing I've looked at since Spider-Verse.
Yeah.
In fact, it's such a good style. I think I said this off air. I was talking to Kyle yesterday. I was like, dude, I want them to redo all of the Dragon Prince with this art team.
Yeah. To redo everything with this art team, actually, as far as I'm concerned. Like there's a painterly quality that's happening in it that I don't see anywhere else. The writing's good, the voice acting's amazing. There's Hayley Steinfeld killing it and everything. She's a voice in that, and she's in Hawkeye right now. But anyway,
I care. I've never cared about League lore.
Yeah, and you suddenly care. 2 episodes in, you care.
I can't wait. I can't wait till tonight. I want to watch more.
And when you're further in, you'll care even more. And by the time you're done, you're going to really care. Like, that's the magic trick they're pulling here. They've taken these League characters, which are just, oh, wacky lady with a gun and dude with a giant hammer and great. You know, like, these look fun on paper, but I don't know anything about these characters. They clearly have done the work.
Yes, everyone's favorite League of Legends character. Legally, not a Diablo character.
Correct. Or, you know, like the way Dota's worse at it because Dota's like the straight up move over.
It was straight up a Warcraft 3 mod in its inception, but Legends kind of.
There's a guy with an axe called Axe. I mean, give me a break. But this is more like, they've done their work here. There was at some point there was a meeting at Riot. I don't know when it happened and who was involved, but at some point they said, look, we could be League of Legends until we die. Do you guys want to do that? Or can we take this stuff and blow things up? Can we go further? Can we do more? And I think that's how they ended up voting. Now, they got a lot of money, and they got a big global reach, and they can kind of do anything they want at this point. Here's the other aspect to this, why I find their upcoming MMO so intriguing. All of this adds to it. Arcane in particular makes me want to explore that city, makes me want to go those places, Makes me want to meet those people, kill those guards. You know, I want to experience that place down in the thick of it with my own character in a big sprawling MMO just from Arcane alone. Here's the big difference right now. Blizzard has left a window open for maybe the first time. And not all of it has to do with the Activision Blizzard mess. A lot of it has to do with just time, where they're at, talent being shedded off, WoW being in a really kind of poopy place, and people finally going, well, what else is out there? Maybe I'll check some other stuff out because WoW's not doing it for me right now or whatever. And then for the first time, they've stepped out of their MMO comfort zone and put their foot somewhere else, like Final Fantasy or ESO or Guild Wars 2 or, you know, Star Wars or DCUO or a bunch of other MMOs that have been doing really cool work over the years that you just didn't know about or hear about because you were stuck and like, not a negative thing, but you stayed in your bubble. You stayed in the place that you loved and that was comfortable. We've all done that to some degree or another, and everybody's stepping out right now. So there is a very unique window happening that's a combination of Riot's just initiative to get a bunch of shit done and try to, you know, become more than they are, combined with Blizzard hitting kind of a malaise and then hitting an awful, you know, internal strife issue that's really stalled things out over their worse. For the first time in the 20 years I've been following this stuff so closely, I can finally see that there's a crack there and someone's trying to fill it. And not just them. You know, Final Fantasy has definitely been a beneficiary in the numbers anyway to WoW not being the hot kid on the block anymore. They're just starting to flock over there. And that's why they're so busy. And that's why they're warning you of queues. It's not because the game, you know, has always had that audience. They've had a massive influx of new players.
Yeah, the thing I find so fascinating about everything that's going on with Riot are these like these smaller releases like Hextech and specifically Ruined King, and also Arcane, which I wouldn't call a smaller release, but it's like they kind of represent these things that I've been like wanting out of Blizzard for a long time and that they're not doing, which is like make more games even if they're smaller scale, like, get them out there, like. Yeah.
I'm not even suggesting
a single player experience set in the Warcraft or the Starcraft or the Diablo or the Overwatch universe.
Sure.
But they're not doing that. You know, how many times were we like, for the love of God, give us a Overwatch or a Diablo animated series. Like, where do I insert money?
Yeah.
So all of this is hitting at, like you said, it's a good time that regardless that like that it's not related to the lawsuit side of things that are going on over at Activision Blizzard, but when you look at Blizzard specifically, regardless of all of that, if none of that was going on, we'd still be in this big drought of Blizzard releases.
Yeah I mean the drought is real, and I've tried to do this, to try to get into a vacuum and imagine us outside of any of the lawsuit stuff. It's hard to do because it's pretty omnipresent. But if you do that and just look at everything by the numbers, yeah, like they've kind of dropped the ball. Like when they were making those Overwatch shorts and doing them on the consistent and on the regular, when they introduced new characters and everything else, the fact that somebody there didn't have the wherewithal to say, we are pushing series, we're going to make this happen, it's going to cost a bunch of money, but we're going to make this happen, it's going to be a great cast, and we're going to have an Overwatch series on Netflix or Hulu or Prime or somebody, and they weren't doing that around 2016, 2017, that is a freaking failure, whoever's job that was. It's a failure. They should have owned that stuff. And I do think this goes back to kind of that culture of, we're feeling cocky, and we are who we are, and everyone else is not as good as us, so we're good right where we are. And I think that finally maybe caught up to them. And it happened to also happen around the time that they had a major lawsuit. But
kind of feeling infallible. Yeah, it's hard not to see echoes of bad behavior. But it's one is very serious, and another is like wanting to have a nerdy talk about, I want more games.
Right.
So by contrast, you look at something like Riot, where like League of Legends is not really experiencing a downturn. It's not the absolute hottest thing on the market, which it used to be, but it's still doing quite well compared to something like World of Warcraft did. And yet they're still, all right, here's Wild Rift, here's our card game, and here's our freaking very well-produced animated series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They're not resting. They're really, it feels like they're really exerting themselves and you know, punching out with all these additional entries at a time where, you know, again, if we're doing the Blizzard comparison, it feels like in the past Blizzard has just kind of rested on their successes.
Yeah. Yeah. The fact that we're not raving about a Diablo anime or a 3D serialized multi-season Overwatch run or a StarCraft, you know, animated series, anything. The fact that none of that happened.
StarCraft anything.
None of that happened is crazy to me. Now, here's why I think it's crazy. And maybe this is just what they didn't know. Or maybe they think they didn't need it because they were Blizzard. But Arcane successfully has me almost overnight not just interested in everything Riot's working on, but playing everything they make. Like, I am playing Wild Rift. I am playing Legends of Runeterra. I am playing Valorant. And I really like Ruin King, which I'm so glad they did, because there's an example of a single player, you know, story focused thing that is not just your typical, you know, competitive play, whatever thing that they're known for. And they've got more on the way, by the way, a game called Song of Nunu, which is, I don't know what that is, but it's another League of Legends story labeled thing. I saw some preview stuff for that, so that looks interesting. And of course, the untitled MMO based on League and Arcane. But all of that in almost overnight fashion turned me into a Riot fan, and they haven't been able to do that for 15 years, and they do it all within a couple of weeks. Like, what the frick? So what I'm saying is, had Blizzard understood this kind of cohesion, this kind of everything will support everything kind of attitude, and put more out and make it happen, and maybe even this idea of like hiring really quality, awesome, even indie devs to do some of your side stuff. The Ruin King is a polished, really nice game, but they had somebody else make it. It's part of the Riot Forge plan thing that they did.
Yeah, so, and not to take anything away from it, but it is like decidedly like smaller scale, or maybe a better word is like traditional compared to something like we're used to from Riot, which are these games as services that are just meant to like live on indefinitely. Your League of Legends, your Runeterras, your Valorants,
right?
Whereas The Ruined King is a narrative story at the end of the day. You know, yeah, it's a turn-based RPG, and there's all these other genres you can apply to it, but, like, there's an end to it.
Yeah, and it's entirely it's entirely unrequired for you to be a knowledgeable or a fan of any of the stuff it's based on. You don't need to know a damn thing.
Because I really don't know a damn thing. Right. Like, and, you know, I'm only two episodes into Arcane, and I already feel like I understand the world, and I'm really invested in those characters.
Yeah, which is just, I'm saying, it's no small feat, and it's a feat Blizzard could have easily pulled off. Now, they didn't need to in the way that maybe Riot needs to expand, because they were Blizzard already, and they already had all of this stuff. But I think it is a serious lack of forethought on their part that they missed out on this boat. All right, so enough about them. This now sets up, you know, when it got announced, when Greg Street kind of bleeped on Twitter that he was working as lead on the new untitled League of Legends based MMO, there was plenty of excitement, but not like now. Like, after Arcane, everybody's like, oh, okay, now I really want to play your game. No longer
is
this
just... I mean, you want to talk about timing. Like, yeah, timing's good, I think, right now for everything that Riot's doing, but would have been like probably an earth-shattering win that just upsets the balance of video game studios as we know it was if their MMO released this year.
Yeah. Oh, no, it would have been, can you imagine? Oh, my Lord. Like, it would have been just like the perfect topping. And we're probably years away still from this thing being even playable. Yeah. I don't know. I assume that's where they're at with it. But I can tell you that just conversations with Greg here and there on the side, that dude, I've never heard him so excited about anything. He's so excited. He's so excited about what he's working on right now. And that's enough to get me excited on that alone. But the fact that all this other stuff is prepping me for that world, and it's no longer just, who's generic dude with sword? Now I've got reasons to care, and it's meaningful, and it's beautiful, and it's blah, blah, blah. And if that art style carries forward into an MMO environment, oh, man. Like, that's a very cool stylization of a world that will last for a very long time. So I thought it'd be cool if we talked about what we want out of this damn thing. Like, if they're going to make that game, and if we're, and if they're building up all this excitement and this side stuff, and we're buying in, what do we actually want? And there's some easy answers to that. Like, please learn lessons from what's going on currently, you know, the lessons of WoW, the lessons of EverQuest, the lessons of MMOs in general. What do they get right? What do they get wrong? Try to avoid those pratfalls, focus on fun, you know, that sort of thing. Is there anything, Garrett, you're like, man, I sure hope this MMO is this. Like, and maybe it's as simple as, well, tab targeting needs to be there, or maybe it's not. But
like, I think that's like one of the first questions I have in my head is it a tab targeting system?
Yeah. And if it's not,
that's definitely one of the more technical thoughts I have.
And if it's not, do you go, how do I explain this? I've noticed, all right, and I really like games like ESO, and I really like, I like that approach. I like an action-based approach. I think it's cool. But I will be the first to admit something gets lost in that, even if it's an artificial sense of tacticalness. And not even, I mean, turn-based, but the fact that you're stuck with these buttons and that they have cooldowns and that you've got a resource. That's in ESO, but it really, at the end of the day, kind of doesn't matter. It's not hard to manage. Maybe in the most fierce PvP environment it is. I don't know. I'm not doing that. But there is something about, you said it last time you were on the show. You said something about this. There's something about tab targeting that I want and that I don't want to not be in an MMO game, a grindy, big, you know, worldy game where I'm running behind the back of a dude and stopping in town. And I kind of want my mouse and my keyboard and I don't want to just action
comfort.
Yeah. I think that's
a comfort to in the familiarity of controls. Yeah. I think I've made this analogy on the show before, but hey, Scott, surprise. I got a car analogy for you.
Okay. Lay it on me.
We have electric vehicles now, Scott.
Sure. EVs, they call them. Yeah.
We have an engine on each wheel. Like, the power delivery is very different now. Why the hell do we still have pedals? We don't have to have them. You could drive it with a PlayStation controller if you wanted to.
Yeah, or you could even say, why do we have wheels? And some don't. I know some have, you know, more cockpit style stuff, but you're right.
Well, you probably shouldn't reinvent the wheel. As a matter of fact, I think the yoke on the Tesla Plaid is the dumbest thing I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
But
like steering wheels, you know what I mean? Like, you got to have, you could make it a little, you could make it look like you're in a starship or you could do whatever you want.
Again, the Model S Plaid has a yoke, which again, I don't love, but you know, it works. But like, there's this thing you could really put brakes and accelerator. You can map that to anything you wanted. You can go any which way, but people are used to right foot down, go brake to slow down.
There's some of that, right? There's a reason why the big flush of wannabe WoW games all did tab targeting. It's because that became the standard. And you could argue that, you know, that it goes back to EverQuest and Asheron's Call and everything else. But at the end of the day,
yeah, and also, I mean, in a certain way too, it even goes back to turn-based RPGs where it wasn't about essentially aiming. Like, you're still like attached to your target, or you declare your target, and that's where you aim your abilities, and it still comes down to that digital dice roll of whether things hit or they crit or how much damage they do,
right?
So that's just it's also like a real-time means to an end to replicate like RPG combat, where you declare your target and everything else is handled by random number generation.
You're right. By rolls in the background. The thing too is, when I go into a place, wands blazing, for lack of a better term, in a more shootery kind of mechanic, let's say like ESO's mechanic, how do I put this? Something on that scale is never going to be a great shooter. And to this day, I still say this is why Titan failed, because I think they could not figure out how to do this right. But when your mechanic is a more action-based mechanic and you're doing it in an MMO space, something gets lost because the focus isn't on the combat, it's on the world. And with tab targeting, you get away with that more. Like, it's less of a, It's less, you know, it doesn't need to play like Halo. It just needs to convey the fantasy that I'm taking down this troll and I'm doing it with magic or whatever. And it felt good. And I did it right. And I optimized how I played and everything. I don't need to have some special shooter skill. Any kind of, you know, a 90-year-old could pick up WoW and play it, whereas a 90-year-old is not probably going to play CSGO. Because mechanically, it's just a, I don't know, they're asking a little too much from you. And they have to kind of, they never can go full shooter anyway. They can never go all that way. At least right now, it feels that way. So every attempt to do that has always felt a little short. And it always makes me kind of miss a tab targeting scenario. And it just feels more like an RPG when they do that. So I think that's where they go.
To flip it though, I don't think it's inherently bad to not do that. You know, there are games that do it and do it well. So it's just to me, I want to see commitment. If they go a non-traditional route for their combat, I want to understand their vision and I want to see it applied well and doubled down on.
Yeah.
But yeah, that is one of the most technical and immediate thoughts I have. It'll be tab targeting.
Same. I think there's takeaways to, from the social side of things. I think there's a lot to learn from why Final Fantasy seems to be the du jour at the moment and why the fans of that game seem so dedicated and devoted to it. And I think part of that is they don't get so caught up in their own bullshit. They kind of let, you know, the big story be the big story, but then also somebody's flying around in the car from Final Fantasy 15, and one of the raids is a Nier Automata raid, and then a bunch of gear you got out of it makes you look like the ladies from that game, and you know they're not.
Well, you gotta get a nice booty, Scott.
Yeah, like they're not so obsessed with their own smell that they have to like adhere to some crazy rules, and they want their players to have a good time. I was just told yesterday there's like 5 or 6 settings just to reduce or enhance your spell effects. And it's not all just for performance reasons. It's for how much flash do you like? Do you like a little less? Cool, do that. And you can see if you want your teammates to be a little less flashy with their stuff so you can focus on yours. Cool, do that. Do you want to have it just so yours is less flashy? Great. They all have that same option. Like everybody's got these crazy little nuanced things that they can do to tweak their experience in that game. And I think that's been one of my big takeaways from the game is there's a lot of that in Final Fantasy. And I think you can learn from that. So I'd say, you know, there's maybe some lessons there. The bigger, like overwhelming, I mean, the size of the elephant in the room on this one's pretty big, but is this a free to play game? Is it subbed? Is it a combination where, you know, you buy expansions?
We got away from it, right? And then now we're the hottest MMO on the block is Final Fantasy 14, which has again a traditional subscription model. That has levels, and I still don't understand their terrible website, but at the end of the day, there's a sub I gotta pay. So it feels like WoW again in that way. So I think it's made an argument for that. I'm fine either way. I'm happy. I'm really happy to pay for a game that I feel I'm getting a monthly dollar amount of enjoyment out of. And for a while there, I felt like, is this my old man hill? Is this the old man hill I'm going to die on? Because I grew up with World of Warcraft. I'm like, no, just give me the game and charge me monthly for it. Give it for free and add a bunch of nickel and diamond BS, even though I guess World of Warcraft has like a cash store, so they have nickel and diamond BS on top of a monthly fee.
That's the monthly fee, for
another day.
Exactly.
I could see them going either way. Does any Riot game have any sort of monthly anything?
They have battle passes, right? Valorant, Wild Rift, and Runeterra, I want to say. Maybe Runeterra doesn't.
Battle passes are usually like one upfront cost.
Yeah, it's like an $8, like 10 an buck, whatever.
Or whatever.
Well, I know in Wild Rift they definitely do because they've got a free pass, which you have some unlocks, but then if you do the premium one, it's like way more stuff. So
And battle passes that aren't like monthly fees. So
TFT has one, says chat room, so sounds like they do as well. So they've got their different models, and they've been primarily a free to play. In fact, a pioneer, I would argue, in the gaming space as far as free to play games go, and selling cosmetics as your primary way of making money. MMOs certainly have that potential. what I'm kind of hoping for is maybe a free, you know, buy the game, but you can play it for free. And there's an optional sub that gives you, I don't know, unlimited bag space for ingredients or, well, basically what ESO does. ESO does this very thing.
They just send you in-game currency.
Yeah, you get money. You get extra inventory for all. If you're doing any kind of like gathering or crafting, you have an endless bag of crafting, basically, that just lets you have as much inventory as you want. It doesn't have to interfere with your main inventory. And that's a really nice boost, actually. It also gives you slightly more XP every month for leveling and that sort of thing. But I also think it's a little stringent. I think they make it difficult to get the cool stuff. You got to still spend more money over there to do it. So what I would like to see is like, yeah, come play our game. Everything in the game is in here. Have a blast. Go for it. Earn all the things that are game earnable. But if you want, pay us the equivalent of a sub or a battle pass or whatever the hell you want to call it. Because really, what is a battle pass? It's a freaking sub. That's what it is.
Again, though, like when you say sub to me, I'm like, all right, how much am I paying per month? And I'm not doing that with the battle pass. So I don't really think of it as a sub.
I mean, it depends on what it covers, right? It's usually a season and it depends on what that time frame means. So maybe a season is only a month. Maybe a season is 3 months. You know, like, I don't know how to do that stuff. But anyway, I want something where it's really approachable and people can get in. And if you'd asked me 2 months ago, I would have said, I don't know, that game, we'll see when it gets here. Who cares? Like, I'm just not that interested. You ask me post Arcane, and I'm like, when is it coming? How soon can I play the beta? I didn't expect to feel that way, dude.
There with you, dude. Yeah, I want to run around in this world.
Yeah.
Which at the end of the day, that's my minimum barrier for entry on an MMO. Is like, I want to go into the world. I always say, like, go get down into the world, because I remember being excited for World of Warcraft back when it was being previewed, when I was playing through Warcraft 3.
Yeah.
I just thought the simple concept of being able to go down on the ground level in this world was cool.
Yeah.
That was enough of a concept to make me want to try that game out.
Right.
And now Arcane has done that for me with the world of League of Legends.
Yeah.
I've never been a League of Legends fan. I tried playing it. I got called horrible names you should never call people, and like uninstalled it the same day. But it's always been a cool looking game. I've always liked the art style, and seeing again, watching Arcane and like seeing characters that are like down in it and seeing this world at scale.
Yeah.
It checks all the art butt boxes for me. Yeah. Like, I want to live in this world.
Yeah. My first thought watching it was that with you. I thought, oh, we're both going to be nerding out about this art. Like, the art is, it's amazing, because it feels like we're watching the merging, finally, and it's a good merging instead of usually an awkward one, but it's this merging of game cinematic tech and straight up 3D animated television tech, and they've merged so well that I don't think of it as, oh, these are just nice video game cutscenes.
To me, it looks like animated concept art.
Yeah, which there you go.
Is like the highest compliment I can pay it.
Yeah, I love that stuff. Like like motion graphics, but with full 3D rendered, you know, poseable characters and stuff.
Yeah, you can see the brush strokes on the textures for these 3D characters, but the way they integrate it and the way there's still like real-time lighting, but it still looks like the brush stroke style. Like, it's just, I can't say enough good things.
There's some confusion in the chat. Ryan's like, we're assuming this will be part of League of Legends IP, or is it going to be an entirely new thing? No, it's 100% League of Legends. That's part, they announced that. That is done.
They've announced
it's
a League of Legends MMO.
Yeah. It's, and this Arcane thing is not a mistake or not a one-off or a let's try this out on the side. This is very strategically designed to get people really excited about a world that they then want you to go and spend a whole bunch of your time in.
And what was the word they used back with the Animatrix? Transmedia.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That was like where it was, I mean, they kind of broke some ground with that, I feel like, in the early days.
I remember thinking it was really hokey. Like, yeah, it's transmedia because it's not just a movie, but we've got a video game and a series of shorts.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's kind of corny, but also it was kind of effective. Like, I liked the Animatrix, and I'm one of those weirdos who actually kind of liked those Matrix games. But
I did too. I liked the MMO for, you know, the little bit I played of it. I really liked that they're adhering to we talked about this on Core. They're sticking to the what happened to that game is lore, is canon. So, you know, Morpheus dying in the game was real. So he's dead.
Which, by the way, go look up that cinematic if you want to watch literally the lamest thing you've ever seen happen in a video game.
It's pretty bad.
It's horrible.
It's pretty bad. It's bad, but I like that they're not retconning it, is what I'm saying. You know, they don't.
I don't know. To me, I'm just like, who cares? Just write the story you want to write. They have no, like, not that many people played the MMO.
But what was the console game? Was that
there were Neo? Two of them. There was Enter the Matrix, and there was the Path of Neo.
Path of Neo. That's it.
Enter the Matrix, I believe, was critically panned. I kind of enjoyed it. Yeah. I loved the Path of Neo.
Yeah, a lot of people did.
I will die on a hill for that game. It looked like butt even when it came out, but it played so well. The combat system was so ridiculous. I loved it.
You would die on that hill with a lot of friendly people. I think most people have fond feelings for Path of Neo for some reason or another.
It was a fun damn game.
I maybe just dabbled in it or something. Maybe I played it at a kiosk in a GameSpot or Stop or something. So I never actually played the full game or whatever, but I remember thinking, like, this is a new way of looking at this stuff, this kind of entertainment. Like, here's your film franchise, here's your side anime stuff, which now sounds like, oh yeah, of course a video game's going to make some kind of side anime thing and run it on Netflix, because that's what they're doing.
Star Wars
now.
Just did it with Visions.
Yeah, same idea.
And Marvel, I mean, it's not anime, but they did What If.
Yeah, the What Ifs. I'd put it in the same category in terms of, you know, impact. It's like these supporting things. And The Matrix was really early on that. I think they deserve a bunch of credit for that.
I look back on it now. I'm like, yeah, that was actually pretty smart. Yeah. You know, it felt corny at the time. But no, and you see that strategy a lot. But you know, back to the bringing it back to what we want out of the League of Legends MMO. If you can't tell, I've been trying not to say Final Fantasy 14 too much. But
I noticed.
It's very in my mind because it's the MMO I am now playing.
Yeah.
It is now my main MMO, and the last month has been the game I probably have played the most.
Yeah.
Scott has informed me via text, everyone, that he can't believe he's like lived to see this day.
It's shocking to me because you were so anti this game when we first talked about it.
It's at a certain point, peer pressure can go a long way. Mm-hmm. and then when you just kind of like, you're like, oh, fine. Watch it, or you let give yourself over to it. It is actually pretty fun.
And you let yourself go and kind of, for me, I don't want to speak for anybody else, but I'm guessing you went through a similar experience. This, my last week and a half spent in that game were about me going, okay, quit pretending or quit thinking this is, everything needs to remind you of the way WoW did a thing. Like, turns out you can skip all the side content and do nothing but story quests and be perfectly leveled at wherever you need to be. Didn't know that going in.
Oh God, if you were doing all the side quests, I'm so sorry. You must have.
I did the first time because that's what you do in MMOs.
Don't do that. Just do the MSQ.
Yeah, but in my head, it was like, well, that's how you play these games. No, that's how WoW's been, and that's how this game will be. And it caused a discordance, and I just didn't like it. And, you know, other things like that. Once you kind of just let go of your predispositions, you're like, oh, okay, just change up the rhythm in your head and play this game the way it was meant to be played. And before you know it, you're like, oh, I could see myself playing this way too much. Like,
yeah, there's a macro feeling mm-hmm. I get from Final Fantasy 14, and it's difficult to describe, but that's like what I'm going to look for out of Arcane.
Yeah.
This sense of this living world that I just as much want to log into just to kind of hang out and exist and see other people hanging out and not just grinding out tasks as much as I do want to log in and grind out tasks.
Yeah.
And this is overly simplified and I don't want to go too deep because we've already gone long enough, but I think leaning too far into get your tasks done is where WoW ended up the last multiple expansions and why I have kind of fallen off of it.
I agree.
Whereas Final Fantasy 14, there's this hard to describe side of it that is just this social experience that is brought on by the player base and not by what the game designers necessarily intended.
Yeah. Almost by mistake, not by mistake. It's not the way.
Yeah. Kronku in the chat room says RPG Second Life and you're not wrong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like this sense of a social space, yeah. You know, which WoW used to have, and still does to a certain degree, but, and if I'm being honest, probably some of that is just burnout. How many times can I hang out in Stormwind watching some dude in awesome armor dance on a mailbox? But yeah, there's that. And it's just like, and it's that age old for the last 3 years, I feel like, discussion in World of Warcraft of like, I don't want systems, I want content, kind of a thing. Like, I don't need another garrison or another artifact weapon. I just want reasons to go hang out in this world with my friends.
Yeah.
And Final Fantasy seems to have captured on that. And that's something I really want out of the League of Legends MMO, because, you know, just scratching the surface of Arcane, the world looks so rich and so deep. Yeah. And it looks like the kind of place I do just want to go in. Give me cool clothes. Let me stand next to an inn. and just take it in, just watch the crazy costumes everyone's running around in, and I want that. And it's something that really missed the mark for me in New World.
Oh yeah, yeah, for
like,
me too.
New World ended up just being like too PvP focused, and just like at the end of the day, I was like, this is just not for me.
Yeah, that bummed me out about that game. I bounced off.
It had a cool combat. I liked the combat system.
Yeah, I did too. I did too. That was a nice comp. There was a combat. There was a cool marrying of this kind of like action based stuff and cooldown based stuff that I thought was a pretty good deal. I think the crafting systems were really incredible, which leads me to think the game was supposed to be mainly a survival game before they kind of switched gears and made it an MMO. But like story-wise, world-wise, like tone, all that, it just, by the time I hit level 24 or 25, I just went, I don't want to be here. Like, I don't want to spend time here. There's nothing that's really wowing me. I'm just feeling like I'm in the same freaking, you know, forest, picking the same bushes, killing the same boar, skinning that same boar. Like, it just kind of got, I'm sure things got cooler toward the end, and I'm sure that game's got plans for how they're going to really flesh things out, but as it stands right now, it just didn't do it for me. And getting back into Final Fantasy and letting all my preconditions of MMO-ness go has just been nice. It's been nice. I've been loving it. And I'm just playing old shit. I'm playing freaking Realm Reborn right now, for hell's sake.
I think I just needed to get through the aesthetic, which I was like, not that I hate anime. It's just not my favorite art direction.
Yeah. There's someone told me last night, John, I think, told me. I didn't know this. So I'm one of those demon guys. They're sort of, I don't know how, but I forgot the name of the damn race, but they got like horns on their head.
There's some sort of dragon people.
Yeah. They're dragon descendant, dragon something. Anyway, whatever they are. And they're cool looking, except when I'm standing like I have to poo. There's like his cross leg, kind of tight butt thing going on. Drives me crazy, and I hate it. And John,
you know, you can change your pose, right?
No, that's what John told me. I had no idea I could change my pose.
It was literally the first thing Kyle taught me. It was my second day playing. Kyle met me in a major city and was like, "Hey, man, you try C pose yet?" like someone like, you want to smoke weed?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Him going,
it's like, weed.
You try C pose yet? And I was just like, what? I can customize my idle stance?
Yeah, I had no idea. Like, I had no idea.
Dude, as someone who is way more into the paper doll aspects of MMOs than I ever want to admit.
Yeah.
Ooh, Final Fantasy 14 is like crack.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, heck yeah. Like, so yes, aesthetics aside, I love that they give you these weird options. Somebody somewhere there went like, no one wants to stand like they have to poo all the time. Let's give them an option. I really appreciate that. It's nice. And I, you know, ESO has this, you basically can earn them. They're different poses and stuff, and those are cool. But again, it speaks to this thing of like, hey, while we were all focused over here, all these other MMOs were working really hard to give you features that you want. You just didn't leave the game that didn't have them to see if they were there. And now they're there. Like tons of them.
I mean, it's worth mentioning they get the big stuff right too. Like, the so far I've really enjoyed most dungeons I've gone through, and I'm like you, I just saw the Realm Reborn credits, so I'm off to the Realm Reborn patches.
Yeah.
Before getting to the first expansion.
Sure.
So I'm only doing old stuff, but I'm like, hey, these dungeons are fun. I like these dungeons. The end raids I had to go through, and you'll get here. Mm-hmm. You're going to burn through them real fast. It's mostly just watching cinematics.
Yeah, I've heard.
Because it's interesting. It's really interesting though. But they get the little and the big stuff right. And it's just, there's a lot of nice little touches on top of the fact that it's like, oh yeah, no, they've got a good leveling system. They've got a good instance system. You know, it checks all the boxes.
And I'm having no problem getting into those like early level 15 duties. I'm just getting right in, and I'm DPS, and I'm playing. Yeah. And the guys I play with are nice, and everybody was cool. And at the end, I got gear, and I got out, and the story continued, and it felt meaningful and not work. And I hate to say it.
So that's, but, you know, it sounds dumb, I think, to say it now, but like thinking about like whatever they're going to do with a LOL MMO, it's like, I think they need to execute on the expected and they need like at least one set of surprises.
Yeah.
And I think for Final Fantasy 14, I think the social aspect of it is the big surprise. The way that that game gives you enough customization and ways to really show off your own personal style and game.
Yeah.
It feels like a small feature, but it is so well executed that I think it sets it apart from any other MMO I've played.
Yeah.
And so, I think that, like, speaking really generally, that's the key to success is kind of like nailing the expectations of an MMO with at least one flourish that really sets you apart.
Yeah. And also have the leader in the space stumbling all over themselves right now. It does not hurt your growth is the other lesson. I think they're doing just fine, somewhat thanks to Blizzard problems. So well done, everyone, I suppose. anyway, that's a real cursory look at what we might want out of Riot. I actually hope they call it Arcane Online. I think that would be your name. I think that would ring with people. I don't think you call it League of Legends Online. I don't think you want to tie it too much to the MOBA roots. I think if you called it Arcane Online, it would be a rad name and everybody could call it CA and, or CO and we'd all talk about it in loving terms. So
I just want to go to the Undercity in Arcane, please.
Yeah,
thank
dude.
You.
Oh, man.
Let me hang out in that creepy green dive bar of a city.
Piltover, it's called. And you know where I want to go? I want to go to Bilgewater, in which is featured very prominently. It's kind of basically Pirateville in The Ruined King. I love pirate aesthetics. I love that stuff. I love dirty old, like, everyone's all muddy and gross and all that shit and big tentacle bullshit going on. I love it. Well,
you should live in Florida. You're just describing.
I know. Why am I not in Florida? What am I doing? I'll be right there. All right. you guys like uncommon things, uncommon goods in your life? Well, Uncommon Goods helps you find handpicked creative gifts by independent artists and makers for everyone in your life, and that includes you. Yeah, that's right. Maybe you need a little gift for yourself. Uncommon Goods looks for products that are of high quality, unique, meaningful, and often handmade. Sometimes, you know, that's the best kind, the kind that are handmade. And always made here in the U.S. In addition, they even have uncommon experiences where you can choose from live online classes in mixology, cooking, flower arranging, embroidery, a whole lot more, all from handpicked artists and experts. And with every purchase you make, they give back $1 to a nonprofit of your choice. They've donated more than $2.5 million to date. If you haven't finished your holiday shopping yet, don't panic, because Uncommon Goods is your secret source for incredible original gifts for everyone in your life. Moms, dads, teens, in-laws, best friends, your one and only, or anyone else. And that means you too. Again, take care of yourself. You may need to get something for yourself. Anyway, I really like Uncommon Goods. They had these hot sauces on there, and I bought them all, and they're fantastic. And what I liked about them is they weren't hot sauces I get anywhere else. They were just there from this one maker. And they were great. I love a good hot sauce. And I got like four of them in the set. Now they just sit there and tempt me to eat them all the time. Those were great. I also, you know, I'm a sucker for the putty, the magnetic putty and a magnet in the middle of it thing that were kind of popular a few years ago. They had one of those there. And I thought, you know what? I like to sit and have that in my hand while I'm trying to get stuff done. I'm doing it now. Anyway, it's really great. And what I think is most unique is these aren't brands you're used to seeing. These are smaller makers, people that really need your support, not made in some giant factory somewhere with some big, you know, company that doesn't care about you. Here's what I want you to do. Get 15% off your next gift at uncommongoods.com/instance. That's 15% off when you go to uncommongoods.com/instance. Don't miss out on this limited time offer. All right? That's uncommongoods.com/instance. I also want to thank BetterHelp.com. What interferes with your happiness prevents you from achieving your goals? You want to start communicating with a somebody in your life that'll help you, like a licensed professional therapist? Well, they'll assess your needs and match you with one. And you'll connect in a safe and online private environment, so it's very convenient. You can start communicating in under 48 hours. All of this without ever leaving the house or, you know, having to sit in some crappy, uncomfortable waiting room. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change counselors if needed. and they offer a broad range of expertise, which may not be locally available in many areas. You'll get timely and thoughtful responses, plus you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions and send a message to your counselor anytime. It's all confidential. You having issues with trauma, sleeping, family conflict, stress, depression, anxiety? All of it covered by these guys. So many people are using it. In fact, they've had to recruit additional counselors in all 50 states. So become one of these people. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/instance. Join over 1 million people and growing who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/instance for 10% off your first month. Let's move on, folks. We do have some games that we're playing this week. I wanted to mention, outside of Final Fantasy 14 and Runeterra and all of that, I played Halo a whole bunch, and I really like it. And it's got some progression problems. They're working on all that, but the gameplay itself is Halo as shit, and I can't get enough of it. I've been playing it with friends and family, all online, and man, Halo's back for me in a way I did not expect. I was looking forward to this. I was looking forward to Infinite's campaign, which is still, 5 days away? Something like that. But the multiplayer is really good, and I've been playing primarily on the couch because I feel like that's where that stuff's best. And I've been having a blast, and I beat people on their keyboards and mice, which makes me feel good. So, Halo, baby. And you, so
Halo feels wrong to play with a mouse and keyboard.
You can do it, and it feels like a good shooter that way. It's fine. It's just,
even when I played Destiny on my PC, I played it on a controller.
Yeah, it just feels weird, right? Because you're used to this. I don't know. You're used to this thing, and I like that they just cross play everything now. It's like, who cares? Whatever you're on, you're on.
Yeah, I'm trying so hard to find an Xbox.
Oh, dude, they're really hard to get right now. But that they're having such a great month. Like in the last month and
Microsoft's
a half,
Microsoft's killing it.
Killing it right now. And they have, and
absolutely
up,
killing
they're
it.
They're up in the sales charts for the first time in this particular run. They're now ahead of, even though you can't hardly get any of the three of these things I'm about to mention, but they're in the sales lead over PS5 and Switch at the moment, the OLED Switches, which for a while came back and took over again.
Do you want to hear breaking news on something that might just be our topic next week?
What's that?
Jason Schreier just tweeted a link to a new story he wrote. We're announcing that Sony is planning a new subscription service codenamed Spartacus to take on Game Pass.
Well, they'd have to. I've said this the whole time.
Oh, yeah, they need to. PlayStation Plus sucks by comparison.
Yeah, it's not even close. So if they're going to do that, whatever. We've all been saying this for the last 2 years. Like, if you don't have an answer to Game Pass, you guys are in trouble. And if they do, great. That's awesome. They need one. They've certainly got a back catalog that would be wonderful in there. But they have to have a sub that's meaningful. That's equivalent. They have to, or else what are we freaking doing? So
yeah, every month I go in, I'm like, oh, what's the games this month? And I'm like, shit, you've already offered before. Like,
yeah, no, that's a big deal. All right. Breaking news. Maybe we will talk about that next week. Cause that would be fun to see what that would mean. And you knew it was coming. It's just a matter of time, but, Game Awards will happen before we next speak too, won't they? Is that next week? Shit.
Are the Game Awards next week?
I think so. Do I know this for sure? Hold on.
Game Awards 2021 is going to be on December 9th.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're right.
Same day as Halo's launch. That's the day of, yeah.
Sweet. I'll be done with finals by then. I'm going to clear my schedule.
Yeah. My suspicion is there will be a lot of announcements because the way what's his name talks online, Jeff Keighley is just. Always. I mean, he does what people say I do when I pull a Johnson, but he does it with major IP announcements. So it should be good. It should be exciting.
Yeah. He knows how to tease some stiff.
Yeah. He's Jeff Keighley for a reason. All right. Let's get to an email. I think that would be fun. Emails are always good.
Hello there.
This is from a listener named Tub Thumper. I should have gotten that song from what's their names? Who made Tub Thumper? There was a song, Chumbawamba or whatever was the name of that band. What were they called?
Chumbawamba. A song called Tub Thumper.
Didn't they have a song called Tub Thumper? Am I thinking of something else? Tub Thumper song.
Apparently that was Chumbawamba.
Tub Thumping. That's it. Yeah. I knew my memory wasn't completely shit. Anyway.
I did not know that was the name of that song.
It's not good.
I always just call it I Get Knocked Down.
Yeah. But really, you were thumping tubs the whole time. You just didn't know it.
Well, I guess I was just pissing the night away.
There you go. Here's this from Tub Thumper, who says, "Hey, Scott and crew, longtime listener of the show. Listened even after I stopped playing WoW, as you've heard from and read from many listeners before. My guild and I are trying a new game, trying new games as a group, trying to find the right game that fires on all cylinders for all of us, which is a tall order we know. We tried Final Fantasy XIV, New World, ESO, all some likes, but no super buy-in from the entire group. Guild Wars 2 seems promising, so I was wondering if there are any plans to do a deep dive on that game. Keep on rocking with the new format. Loving it, Tub Thumper." So I do want to do that. I want to do a deep dive. They've got an expansion coming up, so it might be a good time to do it when that happens. I personally think that they've got a lot of rad stuff going on, and they've seen growth from this fallout of WoW. They've also just been puttering along with their community and doing just fine. And mechanically, I've always loved that game. That's a game where there's a really good combination of mechanics, tab targeting, but also feeling very action-y when it needs to. It's really cool. The spec system, the way it works, it's a neat game. So yeah, as much as I played this year, which is quite a bit for a while, I played, I don't know, probably 20 hours of this game this year. It'd be worth diving in to kind of see where those guys are at. So to answer your question, yes, we'll be doing some sort of Guild Wars discussion. It's already in our topic sheet, so we just haven't gotten to it. Time will tell there, Tub Thumper. If you have a question or a suggestion or anything like Tub Thumper did, you can send it in, theinstance@gmail.com. Send it in today, theinstance@gmail.com. Now, for a moment, I would like to call out some of our friends on Patreon. Yes, we launched a Patreon, and it's been going great. I want to thank everybody for subbing who has. And for those who haven't, there's great reasons to. There's bonus content you get each and every week. And also stuff in the mail. A lot of the old systems that we had, those are still in place. They're just part of the Patreon now. Lots of reasons to join at patreon.com/instance. I want to thank Colin Brown, who joined at the $5 Warforged level. We love you for that. Thanks for that. Michael Harris, he joined at the rare level, and Will Porta at Warforged as well. Those are just three of our new patrons, and we thank them for the support of the show. All right, before we get out of here, Garrett, you got any, you got stuff going on? What's going on? Tell people where they can find more. Yeah, Garrett,
if you want to hear all about how I hit my first set of credits in Final Fantasy, well, you can go over to youtube.com/amovetv right now, where every Wednesday I have a new upload with my good friend Kyle from the Into the Nexus podcast, where we are chronicling our journey through Final Fantasy 14. And it's going quite well. I cannot believe the growth we've seen on these videos and the amount of freaking comments. People want to talk about this game, and y'all seem to not care that we're doing really old stuff. So we committed this week. We're just going to stick with Final Fantasy 14 for this foreseeable future. New uploads every Wednesday, youtube.com/amovetv. Latest video is called "I Survived a Realm Reborn."
Nice.
Which many of you are quick to point out in the comments. No, you didn't. You have many more patches in A Realm Reborn to go through.
Yeah, you do. You've got more stuff to do, but that's, it's a little fishy there. That's the reason I did the boost the first time I played the game. I regret it though. I'm glad that this time I'm playing from bottom to top. Again, shedding this old idea I used to have about what an MMO was. It's play, great expansion. Wow, what a cool expansion. Oh, new expansion? That last expansion can eat a penis. Goodbye, old expansion. I'm never going to see you again. Never want to play you again. Not even my altar going to come foot on your soil. That's how you look into these things. This isn't like that. Like, this is like, I'm running around with high-level people in places where high-level people are running some of the content I'm running. They're just doing it in a scaled way or whatever. And
the longest or the shortest queue I have had for any instance content was the freaking raid at the end of original Final Fantasy 14.
Yeah.
And I was in there with a bunch of endgame players because there's still incentivization to go back and run that stuff. That's so cool and like weird to me because I come from WoW. We're like, why would you ever go back and do old stuff? Is it a time walking week? No. And even if it is a time walking week, too bad. You're not max level, so it doesn't apply to you. The way all of that kind of fits together is really, it's a breath of fresh air.
Yeah, it's something else, man. It's something else. It just, it's, again, you have to change the way you think of these things, and then it becomes, oh, okay, so there is no real reason for me to boost. I want to experience all of this content. I'm not used to that. Anyway, there's that. Hey, also, if you want to check out more cool stuff on the Frog Pants Network, it's easy as going to frogpants.com. I keep mentioning Core. I would really like people to check that show out if you haven't. You're probably going to really like it. It's a big general game show that I do with Bo and John. We do it every Thursday night. Did one last night. And we go hard into some stuff. We talked about that Mass Effect TV series coming up. Boy, that conversation went places and got heated. Worth your time, I'm telling you. If you like Mass Effect at all, go spend a little time over there. All right, that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for listening. We'll have more next time right here on this show. I don't think there's no holiday next weekend. We're good next weekend, right?
No, it's a normal weekend.
Yeah, we should have Joss back. All will be well. Thank you all for listening, and we'll see you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Yes. Get more at frogpants.com.